Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey, exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. This week's program is a follow-up on a program I did a couple weeks ago about the January 6th surveillance video released by Tucker Carlson. That program was 593, called Cherry Picking the Data. The Democrat January 6th committee saw the January 6th protests and the video as an insurrection. Tucker Carlson and Republicans saw it as a protest with just a few bad actors. So each side cherry-picked the video to support their perspectives. So the lesson here is classic. People do not see the world objectively, but they see the world through their own ideological glasses, through their own previous beliefs, either for good or evil. People tend to believe something about themselves, the world, and God, and then only see the data that supports that position. People with a heart for God will see God everywhere, but atheists will see God nowhere. And I suppose God has created the world, the mind of man, to react in that way. So that what determines salvation is not intelligence, or the ability some people have to be better at investigating evidence, or gifts of logic and reason. What determines salvation is the heart, or rather the choice of the will. Once the will chooses for God, all of the data for God becomes very clear. And this is what Jesus taught in John 7:17. If anyone is willing to do his will, God's will, he will know of the teaching, whether it's of God or whether I speak for myself. So the will comes first, and if the will wants God and his righteousness, then that person will recognize Jesus' teachings as true. Just like C.S. Lewis wrote concerning his salvation, quote, I didn't believe because I got the answers, but after I believed, I got the answers. Now, that might not make sense to many people, because how can we commit ourselves to a belief if we don't have the answers or the facts to cause us to believe? Well, what's being said is that there at least first needs to be a willingness, and once there's a willingness, there is the discovery of truth. As we read in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Only those who seek for God will find God. Those who do not want God will not find him. So what we have in this world is people cherry-picking the data, the facts, the events, to support their previously chosen ideology, their moral positions, their worldview. This doesn't mean that truth is relative and that everyone can make up his own truth. There is truth and there is a true interpretation of events. But people will only get the right interpretation of the events if they first have a heart willing to accept the truth. That is, they have an honest heart. And that's what I want to address in this program, having an honest heart. In the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus described four different types of people as four different types of soil. The seed sown is the word of God, but the only soil that received the seed and brought forth fruit is the soil that Jesus described as an honest and a good heart. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. The Greek word behind this English word honest can also be translated genuine, as in genuine gold and silver, not fake. So as long as someone has an agenda to support his own immorality, his own independence from God, his own self-righteousness, he will never find truth, God, and salvation. To be saved, one must start with an honest heart. Without an honest heart, what is true becomes what people want to be true. And that is a very dangerous place to be in, because that person is making himself the standard of truth. That person is basically making himself God. And so in the age in which we live, in an age of apostasy from God, guess what will happen? Lies will proliferate, because people, being unconnected from God, are disconnected from the source of truth and the source of a sound mind. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, in the days of Israel's apostasy, they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies, not truth, prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Psalm 52, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O workers of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. And Romans chapter 3, verse 13, the character of the unsaved, quote, with their tongues they keep deceiving. Also Isaiah 59, verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. So the telling of lies in our nation by political, social, business leaders has become a pandemic. It's actually a worse pandemic than COVID-19. So in this subject, first we have to define honesty. The dictionary defines it as being free of deceit and untruthfulness, to be sincere. But remember what Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? So first one has to define what is truth before one can define or identify honesty with the truth. The best definition of truth and honesty that I know of is it is that which agrees with reality. There are real events and lies. There are real causes and effects, and there are fabrications to support an agenda. There are real descriptions, and there are false descriptions to hide reality. So when we talk about being in agreement with reality, ultimately we're saying that one has to be in agreement with God's reality, in agreement with the actual events or the things that operate in God's world, and ultimately be in agreement with God's moral reality. Truth exists because God exists. We can only trust our five senses because there's a God. If it weren't for God, as far as we know, everything could just be one big dream, one big accident. We couldn't even trust that the earth that we're standing on is real. And this is where philosophers who deny God eventually end up. They can't even believe or prove their own existence. But that's getting very philosophical. Here is a practical example of not being in sync with reality. President Biden is known for telling bold-faced lies. Every week he's telling a new whopper, and the media is covering for him. Here are just some of his lies, events that may have happened in his own head, but never happened in the real world. Biden claimed that he went to law school on a full academic scholarship and ended up in the top half of his class. That's false. Biden said he marched in the civil rights movement and he was arrested. That is false. Biden said he tried to visit Nelson Mandela in prison. That never happened. He said he visited Afghanistan to honor a heroic naval officer, and that never happened. He claimed to be a teacher and professor after being vice president. But no, he only gave a few speeches at the University of Pennsylvania. He claimed that immediately the moment the Iraq war started, that he came out against it. But that never happened. He once told college students standing near a truck that he used to drive an 18-wheeler. But that never happened. He doesn't have a CDL license. And almost all of Biden's lies are said in situations where the lie makes him look good or helps him identify with his audience. He told a Jewish audience once that he attended the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue and spoke with the rabbi there, but that never happened. He told an audience that his house burned down with his wife in it and she got out safely. The truth is, it was a minor kitchen fire with no damage. And this is not even to mention his political lies, that his administration has created 12 million new jobs, that he has presided over the largest deficit reduction in America's history, that thanks to what we have done, we are exporting more American products, or that the fires out west were caused by climate change when they're actually caused by arson. Now, this list is not coming from some political right-wing source. This is a list from an article in CNN. And they had to break down Biden's lies by category. False claims about the past. False claims about Afghanistan. False claims about the economy. False claims about the COVID-19 pandemic. Then there was a section called False Claims in Unscripted Settings. Quote, when Biden stuck to prepared speeches, vetted by his staff, he tended to be factual, though certainly wasn't perfect. When he ad-libbed or participated in unscripted exchanges with journalists and citizens, he was more likely to sprinkle in inaccuracies, making false and misleading claims about everything from his handling of the situation at the southern border, to Virginia's political history, to gun law, to the size of a tax break for people who own racehorses. During Biden's first 100 days in Oval Office, he was repeatedly incorrect or misleading in describing the actions of the Trump administration, unquote CNN. So what's going on here? Is this old age senility? Maybe, but Joe Biden has been doing this for years. He was caught plagiarizing during law school. He plagiarized an entire 5 pages from a published law review article, claiming it was his own writing. And then he had to beg not to be expelled from school. Maybe that since for so many years, truth has been negotiable for Joe Biden, that now he's come to a place that he can't discern the difference between what really happened and what he wished happened. So here we see a man who cannot see truth correctly, and yet he's the president of the United States. How can he make righteous judgments if he doesn't judge reality correctly? A few weeks ago, Biden finished addressing reporters about those Chinese balloons flying over America. And his microphone was still on as he walked off the stage, and he was heard saying to an aide, "Do you think they bought any of that BS?" Now, that audio spread on social media, but Reuters claims that the audio was altered. So we really don't know who to believe anymore. But this is what happens in an ungodly nation. Lies, not truth, prevail in the land. Therefore, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 4, let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. And do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily. I was listening to the testimony of Jack Abramoff, a high-paid lobbyist who was finally prosecuted for bribing Congress. He was explaining in an interview with 60 Minutes that he got Congress to pass legislation legalizing casino gambling on Indian reservations. And he did this by inserting into an unrelated bill a phrase that changed a previous law prohibiting gambling. And the wording was this: Public Law 189 is amended by striking Section 207, paragraph 101, stat period 668, commas 672. So congressmen had no idea that this would mean the legalization of gambling on Indian reservations. But this is what the Indian casinos paid Abramoff millions to do. Abramoff said, "We crafted language that was so obscure, so confusing, so uninformative, but so precise to change U.S. code." Again, the prophet Jeremiah, "Be on your guard because every brother deals craftily." And the amazing part of Abramoff's testimony was that as he was involved in this practice, he thought he was the good guy, that he was righteous. because he was getting stuff done, stuff that he thought was right. And that's how a lie happens. People begin to believe that the ends justify the means, the ends being one's own ideology that one considers to be so good and needful, so that the lies to achieve those goals are not considered lies. Take Elizabeth Warren, who claimed to be an American Indian, when in fact, she has no more American Indian blood than the average American. But she used that minority claim to get a teaching position at Harvard. This last week, it came out that Heather Ray, a Hollywood producer, was lying about being a Cherokee Indian. She even served on the Academy of Motion Pictures Indigenous Alliance and headed up Native American programs. Why? Why did she lie? Because leftist elites get virtue points if they deny their whiteness. Now, after the facts came out about Senator Warren, she said that growing up, she was told the story that she had an American Indian bloodline. Is that an honest mistake? Well, when I was growing up, I was told all sorts of falsehoods, even by family. It's still a lie, and one is still a liar if you don't take the time to research the claim. And so this is how subtle lies can be. When people want something to be true, they'll accept the claim without any suspicion or without any fact-checking, because the claim supports their preferred outcome, causing them to ignore contrary data. Here's an article in Forbes magazine, 10 Ways to Tell If Someone's Lying to You. Quote, for most of us, it's not magicians and criminal masterminds we need to be worried about when it comes to detecting deceivers. In fact, we should be most on guard against ourselves. Often we don't want to know when someone is lying, explains University of Massachusetts psychology professor Robert Fellman. In short, we are programmed to believe compliments and avoid painful truths, both of which makes a liar's task much easier. One reason liars succeed is that listeners don't really want to know the truth. Nothing is easier than self-deceit, for what each man wishes that he also believes to be true. So let me share two more examples. Jenna Ellis is a young conservative activist lawyer, a Christian, homeschooled, a graduate of Cedarville Christian University. She worked as a deputy district attorney for the state of Colorado. She taught courses at Colorado Christian University. She also worked with the Trump campaign and worked with Rudy Giuliani to investigate election fraud. So Ellis was brought up on charges by the Colorado Bar Association for making false claims about the 2020 election. Now, these charges against her were clearly politically motivated. But the Colorado board couldn't really disbar her. They simply censored her after she admitted to making 10 false statements about the 2020 election. Among the statements are, quote, Ellis said, we know that the election was stolen from President Trump, and we can prove that. Also, a tweet from her that said, Trump's legal team will present testimony and other evidence in court to show that this election was stolen. And a statement she made in an appearance on MSNBC. She said the election was stolen and Trump won it by a landslide. Now, these exaggerations on her part are really no big deal. The left makes, you know, similar exaggerations all the time. The left was going after Ellis unfairly. But as a Christian, we must be above reproach, so that our adversaries have no evil thing that they can say against us. Titus chapter 2, verse 8. We must be people of the truth, so we must always reflect reality correctly and perfectly. 1 John 3:19, we are to be of the truth. But what was interesting was Ellis's own testimony about this. She admitted to violating professional rules that prohibit attorneys from making reckless, knowing, or intentional misrepresentations. She admitted to being reckless, not being careful in her representations of the facts. So all of the media reports was that Janice Ellis admitted to lying for Donald Trump. But then Jenna Ellis tweeted out, "The politically motivated left failed miserably in their attempts to destroy me. They're now trying to falsely discredit me by saying I admitted I lied. That's false. I would never lie. Lying requires intentionally making a false statement. I never did that, nor did I stipulate to or admit to that." But what Ellis admitted to is speaking before she had all the facts, being sure that she had the truth when she really didn't have all of the information. So this is a reminder to us all to be careful not to let our wishful thinking, the outcomes that we want to see, distort the weight that we give certain pieces of evidence. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, "Do not add to his words or he will reprove you and you will be proved a liar." Or Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8, "Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you?" In other words, when your neighbor comes up with more facts that disprove your claim. So another example is the Christian commentator Eric Metaxas. He was called to speak at a deposition regarding a lawsuit that Eric Krumer with Dominion Voting Machines had with pro-Trump media. Eric Metaxas had interviewed on one of his programs Joe Altman. And Altman is a Colorado political activist who told stories about election fraud that are now questionable. But in his deposition, Metaxas argued that it was not his job to ensure that people on his show can back up their claims. Quote, "I'm kind of a fly by the seat of your pants guy. We don't have the budget, the bandwidth, or the time to do anything like that. I don't see that as my job. I jump into a conversation with someone, and they seem generally credible, and I have a conversation. I'm usually taking my guests at their word. I'm not an adversarial interviewer, and Altman didn't give me any reason to believe that he was blowing smoke. If I ever thought anyone were blowing smoke, especially on an issue of this importance, I would ask them some hard questions." But come to find out that Altman was making bogus claims. Altman said, quote, "We infiltrated their meetings. We infiltrated their conference calls. We got information about what they were planning to do." Now, here's a quote from an article in Ministry Watch about this. Quote, "Metaxas never asked for any evidence or verification and instead praised his guest. You infiltrated Antifa meetings, which is utterly heroic and fascinating and wonderful and thrilling and inspirational to everyone listening." So I'm out of time. And we'll certainly have to pick up this subject again in a future program. But the bottom line is that Christians need to be especially careful. Let's not be like the world, believing in something just because it agrees with what we want to hear or an outcome that we agree with. We need to be people of the truth. Because as we read in the prophet Isaiah chapter 59, "Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the streets and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking." You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. I'll be traveling this week, so there will be no extended video version of this program. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to be like Jesus, who said he came into this world to testify to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.